Good evening. Thank you for coming. We're so excited to have you here, and I can't wait for you to hear what Terry Cooper has to say tonight. She's a wonderful woman. I am very blessed to know her personally, and a little tidbits about her you might not know is that Terry embraces life to the fullest. She is a rock climber. She dabbles with cycling, and she loves yoga. And as you'll see, she's very energetic tonight. So without saying too much, I would like to let you know that she is an occupational therapist. And with that, she has extensive training working with children, especially with sensory issues. And what I mean by that is processing disorders, attention difficulties, working with children in the autistic spectrum and Down syndrome and other neurodevelopmental differences. She works here locally at the Center for Childhood and Development in Jenison and is also pursuing in her spare time a doctor in naturopathy degree. So without going on, I would like to introduce Terry Cooper to you and just enjoy her like I do. Thank you very much.
I would like to say thank you for coming, and my slides are jumping ahead here. And just to give you a little bit of information about myself, I'm an occupational therapist, and I've been working for quite a few years, and I'm here tonight because of Janie and because of the Kalendas, and I've been working primarily with kiddos who are somewhere on the autism spectrum, kids who have learning disabilities, kids who have Down syndrome, and, you know, from an occupational therapy standpoint, I've done a lot with the motor systems and the physiology and the all of that kind of stuff, which I will give you a lot of information on. But I also want to tell you a lot about how some of these biomedical and nutritional approaches and why they're so important in terms of development. So right from the beginning, when we're a little embryo, when we're just this little blastocyst, when we're first starting out and the cells divide, they divide and they create two little tubes. And the two tubes are kind of on top of each other, and one surges forward to form your brain, and the other kind of curls under and forms your whole gut tube. So the very first two things that we were created with were our brain and our gut tube. And those two tubes stay connected right in the back of your throat. So really the back of your throat is actually the front of your brain. From a developmental standpoint. And it's absolutely fascinating how these two systems remain so intertwined throughout the whole process of development. So it's kind of like this yin-yang up there where you've got the brain tube surging forward and the gut tube kind of curling under, and how those two are so closely related. Let's see. So the health of the brain remains complexly entwined with the health and the rhythm of the gut. So what I want to do is just start and tell you all about what I do, the OT stuff. Now, probably every slide that's up here, I could give a two-hour talk on. And I have given a two-hour talk on many of, like, one of these slides. So what I want to do today is just give a real brief kind of cursory overview to kind of whet your appetite to some of these things, and then you can ask me questions or ask other people here questions. So we've got our brain, and we've got the central nervous system here on the bottom. And you can see how that brain and these, does this have a little pointer on it? No. Oh, use my finger. That's okay. How your brain and the central nervous system, all of these things have to happen before you're going to get really good academic learning and cognition. And so a lot of what I do and a lot of some of the motor skill stuff that we're doing is really focusing down here on some of these sensory systems. So let's go through what A couple of these are the typical sensory systems that we think of, our vision and hearing and taste and touch. What's the other one? I don't know. Smell. Yes. Okay. So you can see, oh, there's a lot of them. But the ones that are even lower than that, even more that serve a foundation, include your tactile system. Your tactile system is actually the first sensory system to develop in utero in response. So it's kind of our oldest system. The vestibular system. The vestibular system is probably what I play with every day, all day long. It is the system that is within your inner ear, and it's responsible for detecting movement and balance. You've got a couple of different types of receptors in your brain. You've got those receptors that detect straight and linear movement, and you also have these little, they kind of look like a ram's horn, there's some semicircular canals within each ear that detect more rotary or spinning movement. And so it's your vestibular system that if I turn my head like this, I know that the horizon's still here and I'm not falling over. It's my vestibular system that when I'm walking, and if I kind of trip over this rug here, it's my vestibular system that says, whoa, hey, you're falling, don't fall over. And then it talks to my postural system, which is up even higher, and tells me, whoop, stand back up, use these muscles. So it's that vestibular system when you're out on the swing, when you're sliding down the slide, all of that stuff. And we'll talk about in just a little bit kind of what could go awry with these systems and what that might look like. And then you have your proprioceptive system. And your proprioceptive system is your system that is responsible for body position. So you've got these little guys within your joints and your muscles that communicate to your brain and tell you where your body is in space. So with my eyes closed, I know my arm's up here, you know, and I can match it like this. So without even seeing or knowing, somehow we know. Somehow our brain knows, and that's our sense of proprioception. And then we'll get into talking about some of these other things here later. But you can see that attention and language and activities of daily living and learning are way up at the top. And so if we're not addressing some of these things down here at the foundation, all of these things that we try to do up top that our teachers are doing that are happening in schools, if we're seeing issues that aren't kind of being resolved and we're not really working on them, we kind of want to back down and get these systems working and functioning. Does that make sense? So, sensory processing. So all of those senses that we were just talking about, so you've got your five typical senses that we all know of, and now I want everyone to know and understand and remember that you have two more. You've got that vestibular system, sense of movement and balance, and proprioception, body and space. So you've got these seven senses. And so what has to happen first is you have to register that. Your little receptors have to register it and make something, you know, ooh, huh. And then your body says, huh, pay attention to that. And then, should I respond? And then, okay, how am I going to respond? What am I going to do? And then, okay, do it. And all of that happens just so fast that you don't even think about it. So let's take an example of it's winter and you throw on the wool sweater for the first time. And it feels, you go, ooh, that's kind of, you know, you feel it, you pay attention to it. Huh, that's kind of scratchy. Is that a spider that's going to bite me and kill me? Or, nope, that's just my sweater. Oh, okay. So, oh, that's just my sweater. It'll go away. I might go like this. And then I'll do it. You know, so your brain is constantly working, constantly, every day, figuring out, you know, okay, I want to pick up this phone. It's ringing. Wow, I pay attention to it. I heard it. You know, you go through that whole thing. And then I want to grab it. Well, when I'm grabbing it, I have to realize how much force I'm going to grab it with without cracking it and being like the Hulk. You know, that's my sense of proprioception. And also I want to grab it with enough force that it doesn't drop and fall. So your brain is working not just with the thinking and remembering and all that kind of stuff that we always think of our brain doing, but your brain is working so hard on some of these systems. And some of our kiddos have a really hard time with some of these more kind of, again, at the bottom of that pyramid, that those foundational skills. Let's see. So we have to go through this whole process every single time. Yay! Okay, she's getting a lot of vestibular. She's jumping, she's moving up and down through space, but as she's coming down on that trampoline, crash, she's getting that proprioceptive input. So we kind of talked about these a little bit, but let's talk about what they look like if you've got some issues with them. There are a wide variety of sensory processing disorders. So things can go awry at any one of those steps. We've got some kiddos who aren't registering things. So you can have kids who under-register the sensory information. So for example, you and me, like this is our threshold. We need this much input before we feel it and before we respond. So here comes a stimulus. Oh, we feel it. Oh, we respond. Some people don't feel it. Their threshold's way up here. They need a lot more input and stimulation before they're going to feel it and before they're going to register it. So, you know, if that is within the proprioceptive sense, these are your crashers and bangers, the kids who walk down the hall like this, you know, they need to, I wonder what that's going to sound like. They're going to need to, they stomp their feet to really help them know where their body is in space. Does that make sense? So they're not just being loud and clumsy. Let's play a little game. Okay, everybody stand up if you can. Okay, so here we are. We're standing in this small little room. These chairs are kind of crowded. Everybody think about and pay attention to your right leg. Got it? Where is it? What does it feel like? What is it doing? Okay, now, we're going to pound that right leg into the floor 10 times really hard. Ready? Go. Wow, you feel how that really wakes it up? I always want to do my left leg after it too. But okay, we can sit down. So that's our experiment to indicate what proprioceptive input is. And for our kiddos whose thresholds are up here, they're gonna be bumping into the walls as they're going. Yeah.
How do you know it's a system more than just giving you a temper tantrum?
Sometimes it's giving you a temper tantrum, absolutely. But what you're going to see is it's going to be more consistent throughout the day. Like, these are going to be the kids. That's just one example. I didn't bring with me, but at the clinic where I work, we've got like this 13-page checklist for you to fill out. And there's a page with like 20 different, actually I want to say there's like 30 different things for proprioception and 30 different things for vestibular. But your kids who have some under-registering of proprioceptive issues might be the kids who bite and chew on things a lot, really get that input orally. It's very organizing. They might be your crashers and tumblers, and they're always jumping onto things, and they're craving that wrestling. And again, part of that is neurotypical development. You know, we all did that as kids. But when does it interfere with function and become a true processing issue? So that's an example. So you can be under-registering. There is another, you could be super sensitive to it. You and me, our threshold's here. You know, some kids have a threshold down here where they get just a little bit of input. Woo, it's scary. It is too much. They feel like they're going to fall over. You know, I've had kiddos who like can't barely even step on any type of an unstable surface or pick their feet off the ground. They're always like crawling over things, touching something. Their feet have to be on the ground because their vestibular system, sense of movement and balance, is super sensitive. So where, you know, any little bit of input to them is like life or death. Scary. I'm going to fall over. I don't know what's going to happen. This is very, very scary. So you can be under-registering things and need too much input, and you can be under-registering or over-registering things and not need as much. Does that make sense? So it can be kind of tricky. Kids can be very sensitive to sounds. The auditory system is frequently one that's very sensitive. for kids, and we'll talk a little bit about why some of that might be, as well as the tactile system is something that's very sensitive. A lot of kiddos with sensory issues have problems with their socks have to be just right, and no seams in their socks, and only certain types of sweatpants, and, you know, certain clothes are really bad, and the bed sheets have to be the certain type, and they're very particular, and that can be horrible for a lot of families, you know, that I work with. So there's a lot of things that we can do to help the neurology and help that brain wire all of that input correctly. Let's see. So we kind of talked about vestibular, proprioceptive, tactile, and again, I could talk for like 6 hours about this one slide. So does anybody have any specific questions real quick? Or I'll move on. I do want to talk about the auditory processing just for a second. Auditory processing is an extremely important thing to look at for kids. And it's very different than hearing. When you say auditory processing, a lot of times people think immediately of, oh no, they can hear. They've had their hearing screened. No, it's fine. But it's kind of like vision. You know how with vision there's a lot more to it than just the acuity or the sharpness in which you see. But you've got peripheral vision, you've got depth perception, there's a lot of different ways in which you process things. That happens with your auditory system as well. And so it might be that I can hear you're saying something to me and I hear the words and my hearing system's working just fine. But once it gets up to the brain, somehow it gets the interpretation and the organization of that gets all jumbled up. And so you have a hard time. So you might confuse certain words. You might think you hear one thing and hear another. Kids who have auditory processing issues sometimes make off-the-wall comments. When you say something, they'll respond, and it might not be exactly to what you're talking about. They will a lot of times have a hard time following multiple-step directions. I guess there's so much information that I want to tell you that the take-home message is when you see a behavior, it might not just be a behavior. Like, let's go back to that pyramid that I had here and figure out what's going on. Because I truly believe that kids are inherently wonderful and they want to do all these good things and there's all this developmental stuff that they go through. But if you're consistently seeing a behavior over and over and over again, let's really look at that and figure out or find somebody who can help you figure out maybe something's going on in one of these different systems that's making it really tricky for them to process a certain type of input. Okay. Motor planning, next to the vestibular system, motor planning is what I play with all day long too. Gracie and I do motor planning stuff all the time. So just like when we were talking about sensory processing and how you have to like first register the response and that whole flow chart that we were talking about, motor planning has those steps as well. You first, let's say picking up that phone. We talked about it in terms of the proprioceptive input and the amount of force that I'd have to squeeze that phone, right? But first of all, like if that phone is ringing, I would have to be like, I'd have to come up with the idea of like, oh, the phone's ringing. I should pick it up. Now, there's a lot involved with picking up that phone if you break it down. You know, you have to walk over to it, pick it up, flip it open, put it to your ear. There's a lot of different things that go on. So for motor planning, for instance, I had a little guy today. He had this ball, and he kicked it, boom, and it went into this little kitchen area, and it landed in a box. And it was kind of behind this thing. And he's like, Miss Terry, I kicked the ball in there. I was like, cool, let's go get it. And he just stood there, like, well, where is the ball, Owen? He's like, it's right there. I'm like, oh. He had absolutely no idea how to get that ball out of that box. No clue. So sometimes what you'll see is kids with motor planning problems will be like, well, I'm done with that one. I'm going to go over here, you know? If a problem arises where they can't come up with the idea, they're going to check out. And it could look a lot like an attention problem. So you need to be able to have that idea. So then you need to organize it. You need to figure out, okay, first I'm going to climb on that step stool, then I'll lean forward, and then my arms can pick it out. Okay? And then you have to make your body do that. So all of these things, there's a lot that's involved. But let's give an example of something that we've done with Grace. Can you think of one, like a motor planning activity?
I can share real quick what
Sure.
We're potty trained. And we're on potty, or she is. So she's on there, and she has a stool, because it's very important to have
stability. Postural stability, we'll talk about that
and
right here.
I said, okay, let's get off the potty. She looks at me like, okay. And she just stopped. And I thought, my words, I got to reword it. Stand up. She just sits there. I'm thinking, let's go, time. And that's when the parent starts to get more frustrated. And I said, oh, put your feet on the stool. And she did this, like that. Like, I, boom, okay. Puts her feet on the stool, stands up, hands, you know, gives me my, she gives me her hand. She knew what to do afterwards. But she got tripped up on that one.
On that idea. How do I make that happen? You know? Sometimes you see this within play. A lot of times kids' play can look really perseverative or similar, and they don't branch out on themes or ideas, and they're just doing this one thing over and over and over again. And you're like, okay, so, huh, what are we going to do about this? And when you look at it, they can't come up with an idea of what to do. This is how I know how to play with this car. This is how I know how to play with this puppet. There's nothing else that I know how to do. You know, so that's what we need to figure out. It's not that, oh, he loves that game, that's it. It's, well, yeah, that's it, because there's nothing, what else can we do? So we need to help kids figure out new ideas and then how to sequence them. The sequencing is a huge bit in and of itself. Sequencing is such a complex thing to play around with. You know, the sequencing of what it takes to get off the potty, you do one of those things wrong, you go to stand up before your feet are on the stool, and you're going to topple over the side. You know, you have to get that in the right order. And then you have to have all of the muscle stability to do all that. Postural control. Postural control is key. I think everybody that I've worked here with, I've said this too. You need to have good proximal stability before you can have good distal mobility. So many people are concerned about fine motor skills and doing this and all these little things, feeding yourself and the buttons and, you know. But you, in order to have those fingers work appropriately, you need to be able to keep yourself upright and not slump over. You know, we've got kiddos who, in order to write, they have to be like this. I mean, they're doing all they can to stabilize so that then they can get their hands to move, right? Might not necessarily be lazy, might be postural stability. Kids with eating, you know, if you think about eating, eating takes so much sequencing. So much sensory processing. The food looks a certain way, it feels a certain way, in your mouth, you have to motor plan it together, but let's see how strong this table is. Okay, so let's think about this. A lot of our kids, when they're eating, their feet aren't on the ground, right? My legs are really long. So their feet aren't on the ground. So everybody just kind of pick your legs up and just keep them up off the ground just for a minute right now. Okay, carry on. So now, don't put them down yet. So now we're going to eat, right? Okay, but let's say that your back isn't against the chair, right? Because you're just a little guy. So now scooch forward and your feet are up and then you're leaning back. Okay, now try to eat. You know, how hard is that? Okay, put your feet down. These poor kids. You know, and these are little... No! You just never... Nobody's ever said this to you. Nobody's ever... That's not the message you're supposed to go home with. It's all about hope. to look for that, right? You know, so you need to have good postural stability. I've got kids who are flying off the walls and can't sit still for meals, and they're all over the place. And as soon as you get their a little foot rest for their feet to sit on, all of a sudden they're like, now I can eat. Wow. You know, they might need to take a bite and then put something in their mouth and then stand up to chew it. Because how hard is the motor planning of chewing to get that down? You need to have good postural stability in order to do anything, you know? To raise your hand, to lean over, all that kind of stuff. Let me see one thing. Okay. Yeah, so postural stability. But where does postural stability come from? Okay. So I've actually, like, spoken up on Mackinac Island at a 3-hour presentation on this one slide, right? So I'll do my best to keep it short. Back to sleep. Ooh. Okay, nobody ever says this part. And that's the key. Tummy to play. Tummy time is not emphasized anywhere. Nobody ever hears about the importance of being down on your belly, right? Everyone says, lay your kid on their back. They won't die. Okay, I'm going to do it, right? I don't want my little honey to die. Absolutely not, right? But no one is emphasizing the importance of being on your belly and why we are on our belly and why thousands and thousands of years ago we were on our belly. You know, people are deathly afraid to even put their kid on their belly. I would be, you know, if I wasn't educated in the way that I've been educated. Okay, but it is critically important. A friend of mine had a baby, and at the baby shower, everybody was passed around, like, 5 diapers of different sizes and whatever, and you had to write a little message on the front of the diaper. So when the new mom was changing the diaper, you know, the new mom is like, rah, 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 and then reads, oh, a little message from Susie, or a little message from Sarah, and the message from Terry was, on your belly, tummy time is fun. Every single one was about being on your belly. Because sometimes we need that many reminders. Being on your belly. Okay, vestibular processing. Yeah.
So that means not just even in a bouncy seat either. That means...
Oh, a bouncy seat. You're still upright, girl. You're not on your belly. Let me explain why. Yeah, absolutely. So, when you are laying on your belly, before we even push up or do anything, what do little babies do? They move their head. Oh, what's that? Now we know. It's that V word. Vestibular. Oh. Dink. Dink. You do that a couple of times. Do that. Whoa. Get dizzy. Ah. That's how these systems learn. These systems organize and get input by trial and error. By doing things. So if you are always on your back, and in this little car seat and your head fell to the side, there's really no need to do anything, right? What are you not getting all day long? No. Vestibular input. Okay? So you gotta be on your belly. Woo! Doing that. Okay. Then what comes next? Oh! Huh. What do you need before this? You need postural stability. Proximal stability. All that pushing up. Oh, you're really working to strengthen the muscles of your belly, of your shoulders, of your neck, right? And then what comes next? Oh, you push up. Darn it, I knew I shouldn't have worn a skirt. I like, this is my part of my presentation where I like to climb on the tables. But you've got, but you've got these reflexes, right? Where if you're crawling and you push up, your knees flex and your arms go out, right? And then if you bend your neck, that happens. So you've got this reflex. A lot of times kids who have ADD, ADHD, if you watch them, when they're down like this, they're doing work at their table, right? And then they go to pick their head up and their legs and their arms fly everywhere. This reflex isn't fully integrated for them. We should have volitional control over this reflex, right? When you bend your head, your limbs and your legs aren't flying all over the place, right? But if this reflex isn't appropriately integrated, that can happen. So all that rocking that kids do, that whole rocking before they're up and crawling, is exactly how we integrate this reflex. Visual skills, one last fun little tidbit of information. So when you're down here on the floor and then you push up, okay, so visually you're going from near to far and near to far. And what do you have to do all day long? Gaze shift, in, out, in, out. Converge, diverge. Your eyes have to move, and they have to do all of this. It is, tummy time is the most important thing, and I see kids every day who haven't had tummy time because their parents were told back to sleep, and they're doing the right thing for their kid and preventing their child from dying. Like, no, again, nobody's at fault here. It's the whole societal thing that we have to work on. But, you know, and they're walking around, they have no connection to their arms. Their arms are just like loosey-goosey little extenders to the side that aren't doing anything for them because they've never had this input and that pushing and that proximal stability. So, okay. Okay, yeah. So, let's all do, oh, man, I have to hurry. We don't have time for that. Here we are, right? Brain, we just talked about, whoa, all that our brain has to do. All that stuff that nobody ever knew about. So now let's talk about the gut. Brain's a team player. The brain, in order to do all these things, needs vital nutrients and information. It relies on complex interactions between the immune system and the GI system. So the common denominator underlying a lot of developmental disorders is that your brain, that CNS, central nervous system, at the bottom of that pyramid, doesn't get the nourishment it needs, right? So in order to do all these things, not only do you need movement and experience and all of these things, but your brain needs the proper nutrition in order to be able to do all this. Does that make sense? So it's not one or the other. And I think that's the most important thing that I've learned over the years, is that I can be the best therapist in the whole wide world, and if this kid is just stuck eating French fries and Kool-Aid, good luck. You know what I mean? The kiddos that I see that make the most progress are the kids who are doing brain stuff with me, movement, body, and kids who are also doing some sort of a nutritional program complementing it. Because if your brain isn't getting the nourishment it needs, good luck. I mean, you're going to be swimming upstream the whole entire way. So, one reason, and it's not all, but one reason that the brain doesn't get the nourishment it needs is because of gastrointestinal problems. The gastrointestinal problems impair nutrition. And then, because of the impaired nutrition, like we just talked about, you'll see behavioral problems. Difficulty focusing or concentrating, staying on task. These are some of the things that we see with our older kids, right? But 60 to 70% of the immune system is located in the gut. If you heal the gut, you optimize the nutrient intake, you strengthen the immune system. You do all three of those things, the brain gets the nutrients it needs, it makes climbing that pyramid that much easier. Does that make sense? So important. Okay. Oh my goodness. This is horrible. I have so much to go through. Okay, so your GI tract. So if your gastrointestinal tract becomes inflamed, or it has problems, or you've got GI gut issues, what's causing that? Could be a variety of different things, but I just want to touch on a few. Food allergies, food intolerances, and food sensitivities. Kiddos who have big dark circles under their eyes, a lot of times that can be a food allergy. Eczema, food allergy, a lot of times. Allergy, intolerance, sensitivity. It just depends on how much the immune system is responding to it. We don't have time to go through that. Now, the four top food allergies that are out there are casein. Casein is a protein that's found in dairy products. Gluten, which is in a lot of our wheats. Soy and corn. I want to talk about soy just because so many of our kiddos have gone on like a gluten casein-free diet and gone with soy. And now they're saying soy is one of the biggest allergies. And so I kind of questioned Jamie about this because of Shaklee's soy protein. So I'm not here selling the products. I don't want anybody, you know, but that's why a lot of you are here. But so she gave me this disc, and it was some doctor, scientist lady, I don't remember who she was, but she talked about soy and how Shaklee's soy is produced versus how other soys on the market are produced, and how the cold water filter, I don't know, I listen to things, it makes sense, I can't remember things. How the cold water filtration and how the soy is processed is completely different than some of the soy that's in some of those boxed soy milks or in all those no soy chips that are out there that are heated and fried and the compounds are destroyed and it makes it harder for the gut to digest it. So that might be up there, but I mean, we're going to speak of the power of soy and power of soy protein. Jamie's going to talk about that, I'm sure. So that's up there. Don't fret about it because Shaklee's protein is very good. Okay. Antibiotics. Antibiotics. You get an ear infection. I think I have a slide on that. Well, I'll talk about antibiotics in the next slide. Okay. So you get this inflamed gut. Your gut, when it's inflamed, becomes really sensitive to these invasions of fungus, especially yeast, especially candida. And that yeast can, again, deprive the nutrients to the brain. Okay, so candida. So ear infections. Ear infections are probably one of the most common things that happen to little kiddos. A lot of the kiddos that I see who are somewhere on the spectrum, who have auditory processing issues, who have attention issues, have a history of chronic ear infections. What causes ear infections? A lot of times it's food allergies, food sensitivities. A lot of times it can be the tone and the feeding positions. If you're fed with your neck way back like this, that fluid that you're sucking in can leak back down and enter into your ear and just sit there and cause an infection. And it can be immune system problems. We're not here to talk about that. There's a wide variety of reasons why you can get ear infections. So what happens? Here's an antibiotic. Here's another antibiotic. Why don't we just take this whole string of antibiotics for a long time? Right? You got a little cut? Oh, we should give you an antibiotic to make sure that that doesn't become infected. Antibiotics are so overly prescribed. Yes, there's an absolute need for them. Yes. But, so, repeated antibiotics destroy this beneficial bacteria that's in your gut, the flora that's in your gut. So then, this yeast grows. So then candida starts to grow. And it's like, ooh, this is a nice place. I'm going to grow and I'm going to multiply and just get bigger and bigger and bigger in your belly and take over. So then as it's taking over, it excretes toxins, poisons, right? So then your gut, which is inflamed, some of these poisons seep out, go up to your brain. Ah! And then it can interfere with the nutrients that are going up to your brain. So, repeated antibiotics, candida, did I put that in there? Yeah, what it might look like, constant diarrhea or constipation or a fluctuation between the two, stomach aches, gas pains, headache, fatigue, depression. So then you get our little guys, might not be experiencing the depression per se, but the fatigue and the gas pains and the stomach ache and some of our little pumpkins who aren't even old enough to tell us that that's what they're feeling like. Ouch. Some of our older kids who have, you know, who had a history of chronic ear infections that now have been slapped with the label of ADD, ADHD, look at what candida does. Difficulties, hyperactivity, short attention span, irritability, aggression, that sounds like ADD to me. You know, I'm not saying there's not a true diagnosis of ADD, but again, the kids that I see that make the most progress are the kiddos who aren't on Ritalin or aren't on the drugs. They're on the programs that are addressing getting rid of the yeast. They're using the Optiflora or some other type of a probiotic along with some of these supplements. So then we're talking about these food allergies, right? And food intolerances. So you have this leaky gut and you eat these foods. But because your gut's leaky, it's not totally digesting the proteins as it should, right? So then these little undigested proteins and peptides seep into the bloodstream. Goes up to the brain, and there's little receptors. You can get a morphine-like effect, an opiate-like effect from these foods that you're most sensitive to. The foods that are destroying your gut, being undigested, go to the brain and say, yeah, I like this. So then you're eating only french fries, and only chicken nuggets, and only white flour, and only crackers because of this opiate, right? Like effect that happens in the brain. That interferes with motivation, emotions, perceptions, response times. So food allergies, intolerances, and sensitivities are something to be really aware of. So what to do? It's a little bit harsh, but I thought it was funny. reduce the toxins, right? But what are those toxins? Food allergies and sensitivities. That's like days and books and years worth of talking. But something to look into. Food preservatives. All that easy to make food that's in our boxes is really those preservatives. A lot of the preservatives are actually neurotoxins. I have this great book at home. It's called Neurotoxins, The Taste That Kills, and it's all about these preservatives. Food dyes and food colorings, red dye per se. Red dye is actually one of the worst ones that I find in terms of attention problems with kids and irritability and aggression. And if you can remove red dye, I've seen a huge change. When I was little, I hated fruit roll-ups and I hated like all those juice boxes my mom would give me. And it gave me headaches. I felt horrible. She didn't believe me. And now I look back on it, it's like if I eat a piece of Twizzlers right now, I have a horrible headache. I think it's the red dye. Anyway, we're not here to talk about me. Aspartame. Aspartame is very bad. Very bad for you. That is a very bad neurotoxin. It is in Diet Coke. It is in Crystal Light. It is in your sugar-free things. Aspartame is very bad. Avoid it. MSG, monosodium glutamate, it's in what? All of your flavored things. Your Doritos, your flavored Triscuits. It's in not just Chinese food. A lot of people hear MSG and think, oh, Chinese food, that's okay, I don't eat that. Flip over your labels once. It's scary. So avoid some of these things. Environmental toxins. This is what is easier. You know, environmental toxins within your home are pretty easy to control. Jeannie's going to talk about some of that, so I won't go into it. Nutrient deficiencies. I have to stop because Jeannie needs to go talk to tell her story.
Take it going. Yes.
Yeah.
A couple minutes.
Okay.
We need to know
this. Okay. And this is again is some of the top vitamin deficiencies that we see in kids. B6. Your B vitamins are huge and hugely important, and so many of our kiddos are deficient in B vitamins and zinc and magnesium. B vitamins, what it looks like, irritable, weak, headaches, insomnia, fatigue, depression. Your other B vitamins, same thing, confused, depressed, poor coordination, irritable, fatigue, depressed. Zinc, same thing, poor appetite, failure to grow, irritable. So again, the take-home message isn't that you have to go home and memorize all this, but there's so much that can be contributing to these behaviors that we might be seeing in our kiddos. Could be sensory processing. Might be nutrition is okay. You know, their gut, they don't have candida, they're okay, but it might be some sensory processing. Could be sensory and motor processing combined with one of these things. Those are the kiddos that I see the most progress with. One little pumpkin that I work with that I refer to Jeannie was just that what I was talking about. No arms, had no connection, dark circles under his eyes, allergy and asthma nightmare. Right? So he saw Jeannie, or talked to Jeannie, never even met him. And we had nothing to do with it, the omegas and a good multivitamin. And this kid is a totally different kid. He all of a sudden came in today. I love him. I love it when his mom comes in because it's always so exciting. He finished every single station in his kindergarten classroom every day last week. He had never even finished one station before he started this stuff. Couldn't motor plan, sequence, all that kind of stuff. This is what I'm talking about. It wasn't necessarily what I'm doing. I'm helping. But if you can get the brain the right nutrients, that's what happens. So again, magnesium, vitamin C, iron, vitamin E and vitamin A aren't up there. They're another two that are really important. I thought this was funny. Fatty acids. It's not just from fish oil. It's not from your goldfish, but I thought that was cute. there's a universal shortage of essential fatty acids. A lot of us are depleted of essential fatty acids. Part of that is the soil that we're using these days is nothing compared to the soil that it used to be 100 years ago. You know, I was just reading this in one of the books, and I remember Martha Wilmore spoke, and she said, and it just hit home to me, that we'd have to eat 8 carrots today to equal 1 carrot from, I don't remember, 100 years ago or something. What? That's ridiculous. That's how much nutrients we're not getting from the same foods that they used to be eating all the time. Thus, the food processing, increased use of antibiotics. So your essential fatty acids are key for brain development, key for kids. They're a key for the maintenance of these neurotransmitters to keep that brain oiled up and juiced up and communicating with each other. And neurotransmitters affect behavior and learning. It's huge. This was this little guy that I was just telling you about. My allergy, asthma, attention nightmare that I called him, but he's not. He's a sweetheart. But, you know, he's a totally different kid because his parents have come at it from kind of both sides. So, let's see. Oh, and there's my friend Grace. So, now let's talk about putting it all into action. Does anybody have questions? Real quick? Before Janie talks? I think I might have overwhelmed you. I hope I didn't overwhelm you. There's a lot of really good information there. Take-home message, brain and gut work together. You have to, in order for the brain to do all of these things that it needs to do, the gut needs to be healthy too. And we need to be aware of what some of these issues and triggers are and identify them so that then we can totally help our kids.
Thank you, Andrea. Mm-hmm.
Did you find hope? Are you excited?
Yeah.
I just want to talk to you as a mother and how excited this makes it, because this is like a symbiotic relationship. And I'm so glad that Terry touched on it. It takes both. And I feel empowered as a mother, as parents, we feel empowered, because instead of saying, oh my gosh, this is a new world. I feel like I'm going through college like 24/7 now. A new world. What do I do? How do I reach my child's potential? She has a lot of potential, and I'm not just talking about both of my children. So I am empowered, and I have power tools, and I brought them today. And I'm going to hold them up because I'm a strong mama. Anyway, this is the Get Clean. This is incredible because it biodegrades so quickly. It's safe. A lot of you, how many people saw Oprah? Oprah loves this. How many people use our clean products? Phenomenal. I have people call me and go, oh, where have you been all my life? So what's incredible about this is that I don't have to worry, and Gracie helps clean things that are not toxic. And we know that some people who are trying to get a real high quickly, what do? They sniff. They sniff it. It goes right to the brain. So close, isn't it? So knowing that this is not happening is an incredible tool. I can just dispose of all the chemicals right there. I have a lot of control over that. And then, how many of you have had the opportunity to build your own home? Or watch okay, congratulations. I have it right here in my head, too. So anyway, when you were choosing that or picking that out, imagine you're building your own home, for all of us who haven't. What kind of foundation are you going to have? Are you going to go for the kind of half-shoddy stuff, or are you going to go for the solid stuff that you know is really good? Okay? What I'm trying to envision here and help you envision is that when I look at my daughter, I look at a person who I want to give the best foundation to. And I know that I have that in Shackley because I don't have to worry anymore about it. I'm just going to go briefly over what Terry is talking about, the omegas, essential fatty acids. Whoop, right here, the three amigos. Very cool. So easy to get into her. There are tips, by the way, if you have little ones. You can just ask somebody who has brought you here.
Articulate for everyone what it is.
Oh, I'm sorry. The three amigos.
Yes. Just so they know.
Way in the back. Okay, so we have your omega guard, which is your omega 3. This is food for the brain, lecithin and GLA. Okay? Of course, the other foundation too is the soy protein, and these are buddies. Together is amazing. One, great. Yep, this is great too. Together, amazing. Amazing results. In fact, can I share a quick story? Is that good? I had a friend of mine who, I'll start in the middle of the story. She has a baby girl, 4 years old, would bite, kick, scream, and she's 4 years old, but she's tall. She's a big kid. And she was kind of knocking her mom around a little bit. And her mom felt like it was some relationship problem. She went to an information night that I had for mothers, or parents, I should say, parents for healthy children. And she started, I gave a little packet for like a week long of nutrients of Shaklee products. And it's really what you're seeing right here, the omegas with protein and vitamin. She started that night. 3 days later, she's in ballet. Her teacher comes out of ballet class, gets a hold of the mother and says, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "Whoa, your daughter is different. She's a totally different child." Those are the words, totally different. Talk about empowered, okay? And of course, she's still on. She's still going. And those temper tantrums that we were talking about just recently, or early on the middle of the story, no more. Maybe once or twice a month. This is a child who comes from a family where she's going to dad, going to mom, going to dad, going to mom. There's a lot of instability too, but just that one thing. She said, "I can't really control all of her diet, but I can do this." And that was the difference. And how much easier is that? I mean, I'm standing up here just getting goosebumps because my life is easier and I can love my children instead of being frustrated with my children. Right. But that was the other part of it, understanding what's going on up here. Okay. Stacy Pauly, who could not be here tonight but is a Gracie speech therapist, she works with Terry very tight. And she said, "Your daughter has no nutritional deficiencies. It's such a joy." They always say that it's such a joy to work with her because she has the basis. She's ready to go for them. Okay? Some more fun things here. B complex, all the B's. Okay? Food for the brain. Alfalfa. Isn't this a love? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, especially for children with allergies. And a lot of times they don't even know they have it. And then, of course, the Optiflora. This is the good flora, the Acidophilus and Bifidus that you would definitely be able to, what do I want to say? It is a gem. It's a pearl. It's beautiful. It's a pearl of a deal. Because it is definitely guaranteed to get into the system. And that is such a joy. So anyway, does anybody have any questions for Mom? Yeah.
With the soy, the way that you process the soy, are you getting rid of the estrogen?
There is information that I'd be happy to share with you about that, because that again is a whole really 2-hour conversation. But the skinny of it is a process totally different. In fact, it should be. There's a quote with this physician on the power of soy that it should be named differently. It's almost like apples and oranges.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To say soy is like to say autism. There's such an umbrella. Okay. Good. Good, good, good. Yes?
How does Gracie, I'm assuming you're talking about her with the omega and whatnot, does she just chew? How does she take that? She swallows? She's pretty young for swallowing.
You know, some kiddos are just amazing. They're all so different. We started by softening the capsules with a little bit of warm water and squeezing them. So we smelled like fish for a while. But you know what? That was more important to me than than watching her go. This is a hard, when you see a child who's low tone and everything, just going like this. And we worked with a young child who, her mother watched me for 2 years and finally called me up and said, I'm ready to do what you're doing with your daughter, because they're 6 months apart. And my you don't want to compare kids, but they both had Down syndrome. They both had kind of the same, relatively same issues, wouldn't you say? And he wasn't walking. And she's 3 and a half. He's 3. He just started to walk. And a lot of it had to do...
A lot of other amazing things.
Yeah, and now he's motor planning better. There's so much, and that was the change. And you know how some people will say, how do you get that in? Or, I don't know, the kid doesn't like the taste of it. Terry, what did you... Terry, do you like the taste of the soy protein?
No, I don't like the taste of it. Someone said that to me, and I go, I don't like the taste of it.
She doesn't like the taste of it, but she knows what it does for her. And that's the difference. If you know that your child could do better simply by changing things, you know, you weigh it out. It's let me tell you, on the other side, it's rocking. It's great. It's fun. Okay.
Here's how you get the B complex
then. Oh, I'm sorry, you guys. Okay, quickly.
Yeah.
She's kind of one of those amazing kids. You just take a little bit of yogurt, you put it on the tip of the spoon, and it goes down, you know, you hit it to the middle of the tongue, and it kind of, before she knows it, it's back. When she was, you can also use a pistol and mortar and grind it up. I've done that with, oh, there's so many crafty ways.
But the bee seems like it's a little
bit. Bee is hard.
You have to start small. You start with just a little bit of the bee complex. You pound up just a little bit, and then as they get used to this bee and their protein, he adds garlic, omegas, alfalfa, and bee complex all to their protein, and he drank it in 3 seconds. But you have to start.
I don't know if they can hear that. This is very true. You start little and you gradually build. And let me say something else that might sound very hokey, but we're talking about the brain, so I'm going to say it anyway. And this is really real to me. If mama and daddy believe that they can get that down that body, down her, it will happen. You visualize it and say, it's going to happen. But if you go up to her and go, oh gosh, I know she's not going to like this. I don't even like the taste. I don't think she's going to like it. And you're not even saying it, but your body language. I mean, kids pick it up. What's she going to do? She's going to spit it out. And you know what? She spits it out sometimes. But that's okay, because we're smarter. We're 37 years old, and she's only 3 and a half. And I tell myself that I can do this. And then let's say you're frustrated a little bit. Let it go. Tomorrow's a new day. And she's still a cute pumpkin, or he. Very, very, just the mind is incredible. So feed it well.